what's going on? One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. It is a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel with you till 4 o'clock. Blitz will take you home till 7. Some guests along the way. We'll do our first fantasy football with Sigmund Bloom, who is our legendary expert that goes back to your days on Houston Game Day and has been a fantastic resource for us.
Boy, was he fun last year, man.
Yeah.
Good dude. A lot of fun.
Yep. So he'll be able to answer your pre-season questions, which mainly are draft questions.
For sure.
But, you know, I'm not expecting a ton of calls, although that might surprise us, and we'll get a bunch of folks that call for draft questions. But I think what I want to get to is, you know, what are some position battles? What are some value picks? What are some things that they can do?
Rookies that are going to make an impact, for sure.
Yeah, can you trust rookies? So there'll be plenty to talk about with Sigmund for a segment. And of course, like we always do, we'll take calls. We just ask that you keep it moving. Don't sit there and be like, what's up, guys? Just ask your question.
Yeah, we need to set the rules that we have every year for this, which is you can't call and wait on hold. Don't start calling until right as we get ready to do the segment. But if you have questions and you're not hell-bent on hearing your voice on the radio, text us or tweet us, and then we can organize them better.
The real fantasy guys get that dynamic, though, because we did a real good job last year keeping it moving. Mm-hmm. Barry and Joel did a real good job kind of emceeing it and getting through as much information as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of information to be had or to be consumed in a 15-minute segment. So
yeah, it'll be good this year.
It'll be fast.
I know we get new listeners all the time, so a lot of you that are new to the show and now listen on a daily basis, maybe weren't listening last football season, you'll enjoy this, especially if you play fantasy football. And even if you don't, Sigmund has a great way of just talking sports and talking football, and it still keeps you informed about what's going on. So,
no doubt.
Somebody said, Barry, get to the Galleria ASAP, which I'm there.
Yeah, why?
Lane Bryant is having a huge sale. You know what?
I like what they did there with huge.
I don't shop at Lane Bryant anymore, okay?
The men's t-shirts are not quality. They just don't last more than one wearing. It's a different
thing. I shop at Forever 42 now, so.
I like that.
Yeah?
Okay. You should, seriously.
Should work that into the
store. You should just do a store.
Do a store?
Yeah, you might hit it off. Forever 42 might be a store that takes off.
It'd just be a bunch of
Cougars?
Cargo shorts and, it'd have to be women's clothes?
Not always.
I was going to say, I don't know anything about women's clothes.
Mm.
Sell fanny packs.
But you know what's sexual.
I know what is and isn't sexual,
that's what I'm saying.
Anything that's naked and turns you on, that's sexual. Sorry. That's just how that goes.
It's pretty cut and dried.
Yes. I would agree.
Okay. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, speaking of football, but it behooved me to throw a question your way.
Okay.
The Raiders are having a problem negotiating a deal with Khalil Mack. He's pretty good.
Yep.
Right? So
pretty good.
Better than that, right? And when he came out of college, everybody was like, is he though? He played at a small school. Is he really going to turn out to be anything? He's turned out to be pretty good. But they're saying that Gruden might not feel like he's his kind of player, and they're not sure if the price tag's going to be right. So now SportsIllustrated.com, as well as Larry Brown Sports and other websites, have said, is it time to trade Khalil Mack, and could he or should they trade him? I started thinking about that and thinking about the fact that obviously Jadeveon Clowney is coming up on a contract year and he is wanting money. And one, John Gruden was very quick to point out as a broadcaster last year that Clowney should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the game and maybe higher paid than that. So if John Gruden really loves Jadeveon Clowney, would you entertain a trade?
Oh, hell.
Clowney for Mack?
Yes.
I would, too.
I absolutely would do
that. I don't think the Raiders are giving up on Mack.
You don't?
Nope. They're not trading Khalil Mack.
I mean,
it's not happening.
It's just a hypothetical, though.
I'm just asking you guys a question.
Right.
Because, again, we don't know what JJ is going to be this year. Is it going to be the old JJ? Is it going to be close to the old JJ? Is it going to be the JJ post the last injury and then factor this one in? He looks like he's going to play the part. He's, you know, ripped up and he's huge and everything like that. But how does that translate to the football field? But the fact that Clowney has been, I would say, over the course of his entire career in professional football, so far to this point with the Texans, disappointing because the first 2 years were just meh. And then the last year or so, he's been really turning it on. But I would entertain that trade if the Raiders are serious.
I would too. I would. I think that's something you have to at least consider, just because of Mac's season. The way he's been able to perform, last you have to at least consider it.
Dude is like defensive player of the year type good. So, not that Clowney didn't play at that level a year ago, but man, I'm telling you what, I think Khalil Mack is a special talent. Well,
they both entered the league at the same time.
Yep.
2014.
Number one and number five, right?
I believe that is correct. For his career, Jadeveon Clowney, 158 tackles combined.
Mm-hmm.
Four forced fumbles, 20 sacks. That's okay. For his career.
Okay.
Khalil Mack, 303 combined tackles. Nine forced fumbles, 40 and a half sacks. It's not even close. Literally all the numbers are double. Now, some of that speaks to health.
Sure.
Obviously.
How many games you've played, all that other stuff.
Yeah, because Clowney was dinged up, as I mentioned. His first couple years were kind of a wash.
But that's the thing. Games played by year for Jadeveon Clowney, 4, 13, 14, 16. So he's gotten better after that first year.
Mm-hmm.
Khalil Mack has not missed a game since he came into the league. 16, 16, 16, 16.
Yeah.
He has played in all 64 games that he could have played in. That's a big difference to me. Yeah, you absolutely pay that guy. First of all, he's on the field. You don't have to worry about him always being banged up or dinged up. As he gets older, he's probably going to get hurt a little bit, but the track record says that this guy, you can count on this guy. Say nothing of the talent, because, you know, you could make the case that Jadeveon Clowney might be as good as Khalil Mack. You could certainly make that case one way. You could make it the other, that Khalil Mack is better than Jadeveon Clowney. One of the things you have to look at, though, is which one can you count on? And I think at this point, you can really say you can count on Khalil Mack.
Yeah, for sure. Plus, you factor in, and, you know, obviously with what they're doing, you need someone in the middle. You need someone like a Cushing. Like, before him, they've always had guys that stepped up and played big. The kid from Alabama escapes me his name right now, but blew his Achilles out on the turf when he came back with the Eagles. Really all-pro linebacker for the Texans prior to Brian Cushing. Why can I not think of his name? He went to Alabama.
I hate when we do this.
I know,
just keep
moving. Regardless, I mean, I really think there's a value there. And I think that, the other thing I was basing the question on was the fact that Gruden just could not stop in how infatuated he was with Clowney and how well he should be paid because of how good he is. If Gruden has got that much control over the Raiders, and Reggie McKenzie's their GM, and I don't know what their relationship is. They worked together, I believe, way, way back in the day. But I think that if Gruden has any impact on it, which I would believe he does, and he loves him that much, I'd look at that deal.
I just don't think that they're, I mean, they're,
you don't think they're serious?
No, I think he does like him, but were you thinking of D'Amico Ryans?
Yes, indeed I was. D'Amico Ryans. Thank you very much.
I knew there was a D in there. All right. Yeah, save that. Whatever.
Wow.
I don't think they do that. I think the Raiders realize what they have, and I don't think that they would take a chance. Because I think at this point, even if you did something like that, it's taking a chance with Jadeveon Clowney. Let's face it. He's coming back slow again this year, and he's, you know, Bill O'Brien, we talked about it yesterday. The Bill O'Brien came out and talked about it. He's not looking in great shape. He had the surgery in January on his knee, so he's got to bounce back too. So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. I just that was just interesting to me because I thought if you're the Raiders, you would never entertain any thought of trading that guy.
No, I wouldn't. If I'm the Raiders, I don't give up on Khalil Mack. No way.
No way. Right.
I just don't understand why they're slow playing it. They're in the, what do they say? They're in the same zip code.
Yeah. Well, that was Aaron. Donald.
That was Aaron Donald. Okay.
Yeah, that's Aaron Donald. Yeah. So there are still some big-name players that are holding out.
Yep.
So interesting to see how those things play out. You got news and notes. You want to hit those while we're at it, just in the NFL?
Yeah, might as well.
Just to head on to those kind of things. The Raiders made the trade for Martavius Bryant from the Steelers. He's struggling to learn the playbook so far in training camp under new offensive coordinator Greg Olsen for him. They're trying to simplify his learning process so they can get him on the field more. That's not a good statement to make in terms of trying to prop a guy up and say he's a smart player when you make that statement.
Yeah, I was going to say that whole news and note update would be Martavius Bryant looking kind of dumb in camp right now. Mm-hmm. Can't grasp the offense. That's not a good look.
When you talk about the generic vanilla looks of preseason, he should be excelling then in the next four games. Yeah. Is basically what you're saying.
I would just be like, you probably have to go like layman's terms with Bryant. It sounds like, all right, now look, what you're going to do here is you're going to go out there and take a left. That's a four right. No. Let's not complicate things. I just want you to go out there and take a left. Go about 15 steps, take a left.
You see where that rock is? When you get to that rock.
That's right.
Turn left.
You see, yeah, you see the fat coach right there? Run straight ahead, and then when you get to the fat coach, turn right and run at him. So an out route. No, don't complicate it. Just take a right, okay?
But
button hook and go.
Speaking of that, when you watch Hard Knocks, mm-hmm. the O-line coach for the Browns got to go 375 at least.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he is sliding.
That big?
He's huge, and he's not afraid to go non-PCHR friendly with some of the comments he makes.
With the players?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Like offensive linemen missing blocks and stuff like that. And he's got a couple of liners. I think there's a guy that they might have get a little something out of before the show's over.
Mm,
yeah, interesting to watch.
You saw in the news and notes, Jimmy Graham didn't practice.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Knee injury. Considered minor, but something to keep an eye on. New York Jets quarterback situation. Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Darnold will all receive playing time in the preseason. Who do you think is winning the job out of camp?
Everybody says, unless he gets hurt, Darnold. They said he looks like a pro, acts like a pro. He's picking things up quickly. And, of course, with that franchise, I think if you did what you did and traded up and wanted to make sure you got your guy, you got him, he's going to play.
I think Bridgewater wins it out of camp.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't at all.
But Darnold probably takes over four games in.
Jets are supposedly shopping Bridgewater.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see.
That's the next news and notes. I don't know, man. Bridgewater's one of those guys that people sleep on, though.
But the big thing is his health.
Yeah, well.
You know, because when he came back at the end of last year, he wasn't ready to come back. He looked terrible. And I know
but he's had
looked
another
pretty good before
season.
He got hurt.
Yeah,
true.
He's had another offseason, too. That's why I feel like he can bounce back.
Because they'll keep McCown just because of the fact that he's a very safe insurance policy as a backup. But
I still think Bridgewater might be able to play. He's just got to get past the injury.
I hope he can. Yeah. I hope he can come back because he was a special talent. I wasn't going to say he's going to be an all-pro caliber quarterback right off the top, but he was a special talent coming in. He's athletic, too, so we'll see. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects on a Thursday right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects on a Thursday. Barry, Nick, Joel, all present, accounted for, having some fun. Kicking it around, talking sports, non-sports. What are you shaking your head at?
Just this commercial on TV. It's got Jerry Rice and your boy, Brett Favre.
Just stupid.
And it's I'm not going to give their full name, but it's the one about the braces, like the knee brace and the back
copper.
Brace that have copper in it.
Yeah.
Do people really fall for that?
This dude's playing, by the way, Favre's quarterbacking with gloves on because they have copper gloves. Shut up. Willie? No chance.
Really, like, copper is making you...
You have arthritis, by the way, if your hands are that bad that you want to wear those gloves to do something when you're working out.
Well, they're like, this really stabilized my knee. Yeah, that's what a brace does. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's got copper in it.
Remember those bracelets?
Go buy a $3 brace from Academy and tape some pennies to it, you moron. Like, that does nothing.
Remember the bracelets? The copper bracelets?
Yes,
that turn your wrist green.
Those were huge on the PGA Tour.
Then they went to those rubber bracelets with just a little insert. And then when I was with the Rockets, they got a whole shipment of them, and the league was going to sponsor them.
I thought you'd curse.
No. And the Sacramento, when Arco Arena, it was sponsored by one of the wristband companies. And then they did about 3 studies, and the University of Missouri did another study and said they do nothing.
That does absolutely nothing.
Yep.
That's like a mood ring. Did you ever own a mood ring?
No.
Neither did I.
Yes, but I had some of those bracelets.
Yes, you did, sir. guilty look on your face.
Back in my my new wave days, I had a mood ring.
Where are you guys on buying products from TV? Because I've been fooled. I'll full disclosure.
Did you buy a slap chop? What'd you buy?
So there's like
you bought a ShamWow.
You bought the tape.
No, my sister had a dent in her truck.
Oh, you bought the Papa Dent or whatever?
That was the wackest ass product ever.
Oh my God, that's so stupid. I bought one. I totally bought one. I swear to God.
Dude, they got me on that. I was completely sold.
Nothing from TV works. Nothing from TV works, and it doesn't last. It's all cheap. That's why sometimes I'm like, it's free. Just pay shipping. It's because it costs you like 9 cents to manufacture in China in a sweatshop, and then you charge $30 for shipping. It's a racket.
That's the one thing I bought. The other thing that I bought from, there's only two things. The other thing,
what was it called? Was it Papa Dent?
I don't even remember.
I'll tell you this, though, because there's a YouTube video where a guy has a dent like that on like a front bumper or something like
plunger.
That. Plunger. And he takes really, really hot water. And pours it on it, then gets underneath the
hood. That's true. That does work. I've done
that. And pops it out, and that does work.
That does work. I've done that.
Hot water? Yeah. On a dent?
But not on a steel truck.
But it also depends on the material of the bumper.
Don't say that. There'd be like tons of like women like, oh, I wonder if that'll work on the dents on my leg.
I also bought the
soak in a hot water tub.
No, hail damage is different. That's a totally different subject for a different day.
By the way, I got cellulite too. I was like, what? Yeah. That's not exclusive to women. You guys know that, right? Nick, you better stay in shape, bro.
I'm in shape.
You can get cellulite.
You blew that deal yesterday.
Yeah. Well, be careful. I had it. That's why I was like, ooh, no.
You remember the Spud Web jump soles?
Oh, yeah.
Bought those off the TV,
too. Oh, but
here's
another one. Here's another one to keep an eye on. And I'm going to ask Tony
about
this.
That was the ones where you walked on your tippy toes, right?
Oh, they were like 5 pounds, and you wore them over your shoe.
Yep.
They were so heavy.
And then
heavy.
Well, then, Barry, the ones you're talking about, too, are the shoes that had half a sole and a spring.
Yeah, it looked like a horse hoof.
Yeah. Yep. With
That's
a spring
hilarious.
Attached to it. But now there's a new one. And I want to say, I don't know if Favre's endorsed in this, too. But so there's another one with an insole for your athletic shoes. And they take, like, the Spenco brand shoe, and they bend the insole, and it just flaps over like a pancake. And then they go, check this out. And they bend this other one. And when they let go, the freaking thing goes up about 16 feet in the air. And they're like, if it can do that, it can imagine what it can do to your jumping ability. And then they said at the end of it, used by teams in the NBA like the Houston Rockets, amongst other. And I'm going, I'm asking Tony. So then I looked at him and I'm like, seriously, man, like, are people buying this? Like, and how much are they think that people can jump higher? $150 for insoles.
What?
I paid $80 for my jump soles. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
They're idiots.
$150 for insoles.
$80 from a 5'6".
Because all you do is you jump rope for like 5-10 minutes, right? And then when you take them off, you feel lighter for all of 3 minutes. All right? And I'm sitting here trying to touch the rim, trying to show off to my mom. She's like, I just paid $80 for this garbage, and I'm never going to get my money back, and you can't even touch rim. You're sorry.
You're so stupid.
Hey, I don't think they're as dumb as the Papa Dent one.
No, that's pretty dumb. Anything that you think is going to make you run faster or jump higher, I'm sorry, but unless it's actually modifying your muscle, it's not going to help.
I didn't give the product a chance. I didn't keep it up.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I wasn't.
I'm trying to think of all the stuff I've bought on TV. Because when I said nothing works, you said, oh, I don't know about that. What did you buy that worked good?
I'm trying to remember. Well, I know that to some degree that new finish does, if it's not a really deep scratch.
On the car?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the
I've
car
seen
wax.
That. Does it work?
Yeah. If they're not real deep, it can make some scratches go away.
So you can get that, but you don't have to buy that on TV. You can just get a buffer. Any of those surface scratches, you just get a buffer and some wax and you'll buff it out. You don't need that new dent.
Yeah, but a buffer is a lot more expensive than a bottle of new dent.
You still got to buff it with the new dent.
No, you don't. That's not how it's designed.
Oh. Okay. So this insole, Victory, VK.
So you never said, did you check with Tony? When did you see the insole?
Tony's been out of town. I got to check with him.
So
I looked
recent.
At it.
I thought
yeah,
this was a while
I just
back.
Found the website. It's, uh-huh. And not
don't
only.
Don't give it out. We don't want to
okay, but not, it says 6 NBA teams, including the Rockets and Lakers and Heat. Several Major League Baseball teams. Lots of big time universities like OU, A&M, Alabama, U of H. Several football teams.
They said that was big time? U of H was big time?
No. It's Ed Oliver, baby.
Huh.
Broad jump, 4 inches farther.
No way.
Vertical jump,
get out of here.
1.6 inches higher.
Get out of here.
40-yard dash, 0.12 seconds faster.
Shut your
And 41% less foot injuries.
Oh, get out of here. That's just not that. I'd love to see the science behind it. There's no way.
So I'm going to give you the website. You can check it out.
Don't give me the website. I don't want to plug their stupid.
No, I'm not saying on the air.
Oh.
But you can look at it. I want you to see how when they bend this thing and let it go, it's like a freaking firecracker went off.
Look, real quick, can I just say this? Stop texting and tweeting about the stream. Please.
We was just responding to Lauren Pope about it, too.
Lauren, Edgar, like, just go to the website. If that's not working, I don't know what to tell you. We're not the technicians. We're just the on-air folk.
Barry?
Well, technically, you are kind of the IT guy.
No, I'm not.
As a matter of fact, how come you're not in the engineering room and trying to get our stream back up?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because I'm doing the job they pay me for?
Nick, if you have a problem with your stream, we have people that can help you that are sponsors.
That's not nice.
Oh. It says, by the way, 9.3% more explosiveness.
It's ridiculous.
You bounce back from injury sooner with a custom stiffness to get you back on the field while limiting painful motion.
Yes, Mark Villalobos sent us a picture of the Popsadent. Yes.
I told him it looks almost, it's similar. It looks almost identical, but it's the exact same idea.
But a lot of people believe in that tape.
That KT tape?
Yeah. No, not the KT tape. The tape where they tape the bottom of the boat and they do all those, like Charles, they got Charles on. But they say that it works.
No.
Well, they did a new special on it. It's not as quite easy as the commercial, but it is kind of functional.
It's somewhat effective, yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're going to take a break. And coming out of the halftime break, guess who's going to be with us? It is Sigmund Bloom.
He is
a staple of game day. All you guys need is shock.
Smart.
And Nick and I'll just bow out. And you guys can have a reunited and it feels so good moment on game day.
Yeah, somebody brought that up. They're like, oh, man, it's almost like game day. Well, except I didn't have to get up at 6 in the morning for this.
Okay.
It's much
fantasy
better.
Questions. Call in.
Much better.
Text, you got fantasy tweet. Questions? Now is the time. Load it up and let them go. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. We'll also take tweets and texts and try and get as many questions for Sigmund as we can next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. 90 in the rear view. 90 still to go. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. And it is with great pleasure we now welcome in a staple of our show and also a guy that's been on this station for quite a while longer than that on Sundays with Houston Game Day. It is one Sigmund Bloom. We appreciate Sigmund always joining the show. His expertise is fantastic. He likes to help you guys out. In the process, you guys have questions for him. But, Sigmund, hope the offseason has treated you well. I'm sure you're geared up and ready to go.
Oh, I am. And training camp is like drinking from the fire hose with 32 teams of information to grapple with. And I like not feeling so out on a limb obsessing about football now that the rest of the country has started to turn their attention back to it.
How much time do you spend in the offseason on fantasy football, Sigmund?
Well, not so much on fantasy football directly, but just keeping up with that 365-day news cycle. I love the draft. I love watching draft prospects. I like to see where they land, coaching changes, free agency. Then we start to get news from OTAs where teams are installing their new systems when we want to see, especially with, say, what the Rams did last year, where a team can really rise from the dead and shrug off that weight of a coach that's been holding them back. We're watching teams like Tennessee and Chicago and the Giants to see if that's going to happen. So there's always little clues as we go through the calendar.
Now, Sigmund, it's too early to start talking about positions and you know who to start. Who obviously some people are just now having their drafts. But so I wanted to get you in early because we started getting requests for folks wanting to talk about their drafts and talk about strategy. So for some folks that haven't played a lot, give a real quick strategy because I feel like in the last couple of years there's been a shift because in the past everyone went running back, like that was the big strategy. strategy. It feels like now you got to go for quarterback. But talk a little bit about your philosophy and your theory when it comes to drafting in general.
Well, playing fantasy football over the years forces you to really understand how the game is changing. And in this case, the game is becoming more pass-heavy. Some of the results of that on fantasy drafts can be counterintuitive, though. I actually think you can wait at quarterback as long as ever. There's 20 or 25 quarterbacks that I would be comfortable starting in most leagues with 12 teams or 10 teams. That means you can even let some teams take a backup and get somebody like Alex Smith around the 15th quarterback or later, who was a top five option. I think is in a really good situation in Washington. At running back, getting your top running back in the first or second round is crucial, because once we get outside of that top 10 or 12 running backs, most running backs are in these timeshares now. There's very few backs that get that foundational role. Really, the list might be as short as 8 or 10 this year. And if you can get a Todd Gurley, a Le'Veon Bell, an Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, who's back this year with your first-round pick, that's an easy call. Wide receiver gets deeper and deeper with the increase in passing. You can get wide receivers in the 8th, 9th, 10th round who can end up being weekly startable options for you. And tight end is kind of a wasteland, so I still like going to the old reliable Gronkowski early. But at the same time, we're looking to see if some teams using two tight ends might make that position a little deeper.
You mentioned that because I was going to bring that up later, but I've seen a lot of guys that are so-called fantasy football experts on social media sites argue about the fact that Gronk should be a first-round pick. And with what you're saying about quarterbacks and the emergence of them getting more of a priority and what we know already about how important running backs are, is it still feasible to say Gronk should be a first-round pick?
Well, you don't have to take him in the first round, unless I'm in your league, maybe, because I've been taking him in the second round in almost every draft. And I see him set up for a career high in targets with Julian Edelman suspended for the first four games, with Brandon Cooks now with the Rams, and then they're trying to fit a bunch of retreads that could potentially work out, guys like Kenny Britt and Cordarrelle Patterson and Eric Decker in their offense. I still haven't watched a game where a team really figured out how to stop Rob Gronkowski. That's the kind of player I want on my fantasy team. But you do forego getting a top wide receiver or running back option. So you're starting a little bit, giving the other teams a little bit of a head start there. But with a depth at wide receiver, I don't mind conceding that. So I'm usually starting with a running back and then Rob Gronkowski in the second round.
All right, so speaking of that, somebody had texted in a question, and I've got a few more to get to, but we'll get to this one because it's relevant. But is Eric Decker going to be a good pickup in New England with Edelman suspended four games?
I doubt it. Maybe we'll talk about him as a waiver wire pickup in week two. That opening weekend game between the Patriots and Texans might be the highest scoring game of the weekend. But there's a reason that he wasn't getting a lot of interest around the league, a lot of surgeries built up. He has a similar game to Jordan Matthews, who people were excited about, but he hurt his hamstring and has now been released by the team. So I'm taking a wait-and-see option with him. If I'm taking a wide receiver late from the Patriots, it would probably be Cordarrelle Patterson, because I think Bill Belichick is simple enough about football, simple-minded enough, to know that you need to find a way to get this guy the ball six or eight times a game.
Well, and they've shown Brady working extra long after practice with him, spending extra time with him, which can't do anything but help in terms of not only just from a chemistry and timing standpoint, but the fact that if Brady likes you and he'll look your way a little bit extra. I do want to ask you about the newcomers in the league. There's always rookies that make a splash. We know Saquon Barkley up at the top of the list. The Jets are looking like they're going to start Sam Darnold right off the top. But who are a couple of the rookies coming in that could have an impact on fantasy football right away?
So first, there's the running backs, and a lot of people who won their league last year might look at Alvin Kamara or Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette as a big reason why they won their league. So people are looking for those running backs. You're going to have to take Saquon Barkley in the first round. I'm not sure if that's going to end up being a good move with the Giants in transition. Maybe a little bit later on in your draft, someone like Royce Freeman for the Broncos or Kerryon Johnson for the Lions. These backs may have a chance to take over the backfield as the season goes on. I like a lot of the wide receivers. We're hearing a lot of buzz about rookie wide receivers like Anthony Miller in Chicago, James Washington in Pittsburgh, that could play big roles in Pittsburgh's case in a good pass offense, and Juju Smith-Schuster's a little banged up. And in Chicago's case, an offense that's transitioning, again, to maybe be like that Rams offense where even though they signed Allen Robinson, there really isn't a true number one receiver. And that could open the door for Anthony Miller to make big contributions early in the season.
All right, Sigma, before we get to draft strategy, because somebody had a question about QBs in a 2QB league, what's your number – who's the number one pick and who's your number one skip? Like, who's the guy that you're like, nah, if you don't have to take this guy, don't take him?
Yeah, number one pick is Todd Gurley. And he won leagues for folks last year. Nothing has changed in the situation with the Rams. If anything, they'll be even more comfortable in that system. And Jared Goff might be an upgrade from Sammy Watkins to Brandon Cooks and what they can do with him. One of the players I'm skipping is Christian McCaffrey. And I get it. McCaffrey was the number eight overall pick last year. The Panthers say things like 25 or 30 touches a game. That's just absurd. He really wasn't a valuable fantasy commodity last year outside of 5 or 6 weeks. C.J. Anderson is an upgrade from Jonathan Stewart. And I just don't know if I trust Norv Turner to make the best use out of a 21st century player like McCaffrey.
You're looking at other names that made a splash, but one name that you haven't mentioned yet that I was curious about is obviously Washington with Alex Smith and the fact that they're going to hopefully try and stabilize their offense. We know Gruden wanted more balance there, Jay Gruden, that is. But what about Geis from LSU as a running back? Is that a guy that's going to have an impact?
Sure, and he's going in the third round, and I think you might be very happy with that. He's on a par with Leonard Fournette in terms of talent. I think, like Fournette, he's an underrated receiver, could still catch 25 or 30 passes, even though Chris Thompson is there to dominate the running back targets. This is a backfield that in 2016, with Matt Jones and Rob Kelly, was still a very productive backfield. Last year, their offensive line was in shambles, and the running game went with it. We're not sure how good this running game can be with Geis and a healthy offensive line. And I actually think that Alex Smith might be a better fit for the Jay Gruden system than he was in the Andy Reid system. And I expect that offense to click. I would expect there to be maybe 3 or 4 Washington players that outproduce their ADP. That includes if Jordan Reed can stay healthy. He had surgery in the offseason to help the toe issue that slowed him down last year. Jamison Crowder is healthy. He's ripping very well with Alex Smith. So there's a lot of potential profit in the Washington offense.
All right, let's get to this question that we got on the text line where somebody wanted to know, what's the draft strategy in a 2QB league?
Yeah. Well, you don't want to be left out in the cold, but the depth at quarterback can still help you. So in a 2-quarterback league, and I think fantasy leagues are going this way, or what we call a super flex league where you can use a quarterback as your flex, which really ends up playing out like a 2-quarterback league, you still want to make sure you get 2 of the top 20 or 25 quarterbacks, but you can wait. And assuming you don't have a position at the end or beginning of the draft, so you're getting a pick in the middle, around the middle of the round, you can wait and you can still get players like Andrew Luck as the 8th or 10th quarterback, Alex Smith as the 15th quarterback, even Andy Dalton or Blake Bortles or Eli Manning. There are reasons to think all of these players will have better 2018s than their 2017s. So I'm okay taking 2 later quarterbacks, as long as I'm getting better values at running back and wide receiver and tight end than those teams that are taking quarterback early.
Excellent. Justin had a question too, and this is more of a sit-start question during the season, but
yeah,
he just said basically when all things being equal, who the player is playing defensively and so forth, do you take the playing surface into account at all? And is that any consideration in a start sit?
Well, I'll say this. Drew Brees is a much better quarterback in the Superdome than outside on grass. So that can be a tiebreaker if I'm looking to start one of the other players in that offense. I mean, players like Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas and Mike Ingram, once he's back from his suspension, they're in your lineup every week. But Drew Brees was kind of a lackluster fantasy quarterback last year. So that might be a reason to start someone over Drew Brees, or if Cameron Meredith comes on as their number 2 receiver, maybe some of the more peripheral players. So we do look at also speed back, speed receivers being much better off on artificial surfaces, indoors. And then that also especially comes into play in December, in the winter, whenever Buffalo and Chicago and Cleveland could have weather that makes it very hard for the passing game to function.
Sigmund, tell them about the draft app, because I swear by this thing. I love this thing. I've been using it for like 3 or 4 years now, or however long it's been out, and it's saved me so much time and research. It makes it so simple. Tell them about it.
Yeah, we've got the mobile draft dominator, and it's just like having us look over your shoulder and advising you during your draft. I think it's best for just keeping you calm as you see the rankings and the players disappear as your draft is going along. Then you don't have to panic, and you have a very good idea. It adjusts as your draft goes along so you don't get caught on the wrong side of runs. You could go in and adjust things manually or use our mix of our four projectors that project players over the course of the season. I think it just makes the draft a very relaxing experience instead of nerve-wracking, which in and of itself can get under the skin of your opponents and undo them.
Yeah, indeed. Guys, footballguys.com is where you can get the app or more information. It's at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. Sigmund, appreciate it, man. I'm looking forward to another great fantasy football season with you. Thanks for joining us again this year.
Thanks, Sigmund.
Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity.
There you go. You can catch up with Sigmund Bloom every week at 2:30 in the afternoon. He is a resource. He is a book of knowledge, and he is a good dude.
I swear by that draft app, by the way. What I love about it is that you go in, you download the app. It's like $5. It's not that expensive. I get it every year. You download the app, and then you plug in your league settings. So you say there's 12 teams, 2 quarterbacks, that you need this many positions, this many bench. This is a, you plug it all in, and then you say whether it's point per reception or how the scoring is done, and that's how they give you your draft sheet. So then you fire it up during your draft, and every time a player is picked, you just mark them off your list, and that way you know who's available and who's the best pick for you. It's badass.
I'm perplexed in the fact that you just didn't come right out and admit the reason why you like it is because you get under people's skin by having it.
Okay.
Right?
No. So, yeah.
Sure. Nick's telling us we got to go to break.
Hmm.
All right. Hey, we got much more to go on the big show. Don't forget now, at 3 o'clock, Sports Mappers are also in on the fun, as we will be simulcasting on 94.1. But for now, it's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Which way is the graveyard? I'm an iceberg with the warm heart.
I see you dead. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Final segment of the second hour. Appreciate you joining us. Do want to remind you, too, Barry mentioned the app, but if you want to follow Sigmund on a regular basis, at Sigmund Bloom, B-L-O-O-M. Great follow. Always giving you little tidbits of information that can help you throughout the fantasy football season.
Yeah, and sometimes he'll answer questions on Twitter, but then he's also, they've got a message board that you can log into and get your questions answered there. So, by the way, AD comes in with good news. Our technician extraordinaire, our IT genius, or one of them, the stream is back working again. So if you were listening on the interwebs on the ESPN975.com website and you want to go back to your app on your phone, you can now do that. So thank you to AD for getting that resolved. Much appreciated.
Thank goodness it's back up and running.
Yeah, now stop texting and tweeting about it. Goodness. Also, I just confirmed, but for Friday, so we were discussing in the break, but for Friday, Jerry Rocha will be filling in for me on Funny Friday, F.E.F. Friday. Mm-hmm. So he'll be the comedian of the week because he'll be here. If you don't remember, Jerry was with us last year. We were at Revelry on Richmond. Was it for the NCAA tournament?
I'm not sure what time it was. Normally, that's when we're there.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was for the tournament or not, but he joined us. He was super funny. Everybody enjoyed him, so he's going to be filling in for that day, so that should be a lot of fun. He's the guy from Dallas that told the story about going to Eagle Stadium dressed as a cowboy. And
he's a good dude.
Almost getting in a fight. Yeah, great dude. Really funny. Big sports fan. And so he'll be filling in on Friday, so that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Did you see this Michael Brooks tweet?
I did.
Arizona Cardinals are challenging fans to eat a 7-pound, $75 hamburger. Now, I don't know how healthy that is, but it actually
looks... 7 pounds of burger can't be, like, protein powder for you, but, you know.
It looks pretty good, but here's what's in it. It says, hello to the 7-pound gridiron burger. 5 1/3-pound burger patties. 5 all-beef hot dogs. 5 bratwursts. 20 slices of American cheese. 20?
Wow.
Isn't a pack of cheese like 24, like 16 or 24?
I think so.
You're literally eating a pack of cheese. 8 slices of bacon. 8 chicken tenders. 12 ounces of fries. And then for good measure, lettuce, tomato, pickles, and something they call tanker sauce. What the hell is tanker sauce?
I don't know.
It's probably some. You know how sauces are in these days. Everybody wants a new sauce.
I think one thing they're omitting, though, should be like 20 rolls of toilet paper. Because that's what you're going to need after you consume any part of that.
12 ounces of fries is almost a pound of fries. Because 16 ounces makes, right?
Yeah. A 10-inch bun. 10-inch bun. I don't know what. I got to Google tanker sauce. I wonder if it tastes like the Dallas Mavericks.
I don't know.
See what
burger.
I did there? Tanking. Watch out. Professional comic. Tanker sauce. I don't know what that is. It doesn't say. I have no idea.
How long will it take for you to eat it, Barry?
I probably could not finish that.
I don't think I can. I don't think anybody can.
No, I don't think I could. I would give it a good college try. I would be willing to bet you that I could eat half of it.
It sounds like it would be fun trying to eat that thing.
It does.
There's a lot of good stuff on there.
5 hot dogs. Like, I did the 999
hot
challenge.
Hot dogs, so
I know,
and bratwurst, and chicken tenders?
I know I can eat 9 hot dogs. So if I substitute some brats for hot dogs, that's 10. I could probably do that. But that doesn't count the 5 patties, the chicken tenders, the fries, the bacon. Mike, I don't know. Is anybody even finishing that?
I don't think anybody is.
I think, what's his name?
It said one of them that tried the challenge. Yeah, Joey Chestnut.
Yeah.
But all failed to finish it. There was 3 staff members that took the challenge Monday. All of them failed. One of them called in sick the next day.
Take me 5 minutes to consume that thing.
Bro, please. Your big ass ain't eating that.
Get in my belly. Come on.
It looks delicious, though. You know what it kind of reminds me of a little bit? It looks like the burger I had in Tulsa that had peanut butter on it.
That's just disgusting.
Oh, no, bro. You're missing out.
There's no chance I'm ever eating a burger with peanut butter.
You are missing out, Joseph. It's the best.
I would have to agree with Joel.
No chance.
In fact, I might make that tomorrow night. It might be peanut butter hamburgers tomorrow night. I'm telling you guys, don't sleep on it. It's really good.
I'd sleep on it before I'd eat it. Mm. I'm telling you right now, it just doesn't sound good to me.
Okay. I think you're missing out. So a lot of people were texting the stuff they bought on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said that the Alfonso Ribeiro's Learn How to Moonwalk on VHS and Betamax was straight fire.
That makes me feel so much better.
Did you buy that?
No, I did it.
Don't you remember there was the other one where the guy that supposedly was the choreographer for NSYNC and others?
Tybo.
But they were like, it'll have you popping and locking and everything like that?
So bad.
Crazy.
Somebody said the bug assault gun works. Do you know what that is?
No, I thought that was Chance McClain.
No, the bug assault gun, my dad has one. It's a gun that shoots a puff of salt, table salt. You just pour salt in there, and you got a fly flying around. As soon as it lands, you pump that thing up and shoot it. The salt kills the fly. It's crazy, and it works. It really does work.
Really?
Yeah, it's wild.
See, all that stuff on TV works. All right, we've got 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go in the big show, and the sports mappers are going to join us next, so we'll have more fun and games with more people along for the ride. It's just the way we do it, and we like to do it here on ESPN 97.5.